the Attorney General of Texas, who's facing allegations against him that are a separate matter. He's asking the Supreme Court to take up a lawsuit to overturn the election results in four other states and commonwealths, not including his own state. Is there any merit?
No. This is the most insane thing yet. First of all, I mean, the Supreme Court has jurisdiction to hear disputes among states, and usually it's for borders and rivers. The notion that the Supreme Court is going to have a litigation among where states are attacking each other's rules for choosing electors is insane, and they are not going to do that at any point in time. And that lawsuit, I mean, I skimmed some of it. I mean, it's a motion for leave to allow them to file a complaint, which the Supreme Court has the discretion to just deny because they can decide we don't want to hear this case, bring it somewhere else. The case is just lie after lie in it. For example, they talk about the ballot dumps in the middle of the night, and they say, oh, there's a 1 in 10 quadrillion chance or something like that, that these votes would have been so heavily Democratic, as though, you know, they're pretending as though the Democrats and Republicans are equally mixed in mail-in versus
voting in person
and that the middle of the state is not different from Philadelphia.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we all know, we've watched elections for years, and we know that, oh, wow, we have to wait for, you know, suburban such and so to come in, and that's a heavily Republican, so we can't call it now. We all know this, and that they're peddling to the Supreme Court the notion that it's anomalous that some votes in some areas at some points in time are going to be more one-sided than others. It's crazy. And they're saying that. And they're also recycling. I mean, to do this in the Supreme Court of the United States is for a member of the Supreme Court bar to do this in the Supreme Court of the United States is absolutely outrageous. They're throwing in all the garbage allegations of fraud that the Trump campaign wouldn't even put in some of their complaints in federal district court. It's absurd and an embarrassment. And for a public official, let alone any lawyer, let alone any member of the Supreme Court bar, bring this lawsuit is atrocious.
And lastly, state electors, as you note, on Monday are going to cast their votes and make Joe Biden's win official for the 20th time.
Yeah.
CNN asked Republican Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio if President Trump should concede that day. His response was, no way, no way, no way, because Jordan wants a battle on the House floor come January. Does Speaker Pelosi just have the ability just to make sure that doesn't happen?
Well, she should. I mean, I don't know about the parliamentary rules, but that law that I mentioned at the very beginning of our segment here.
Safe harbor law.
The safe harbor law basically says that those votes, those electoral votes in the states that file their certificates by today are conclusive. You cannot challenge their bona fides. You cannot say, oh, the election was fraudulent. If the governor of Georgia says these are the electors, these are Biden's electors have been elected. If the governor of Arizona, the Republican governor of Arizona says that, in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, they're all saying that, Biden gets 306 electoral votes and nobody's going to be able to challenge that, and they can make all the noise they want. It's an embarrassment. They are misleading some segment of the American people that wants to believe that somehow Donald Trump can pull this off. And it's the biggest election fraud of the 2020 cycle. It didn't happen in any voting booth or in any mailing drop box. It's happening now with these people peddling the lie that he won the election.
David Domke, first things for a December 9th, Jake Tapper, George Conway, an attorney, labeled on the CNN Chiron generator as conservative lawyer.
Also married to Kellyanne Conway, and he might be conservative like in general, but he has been brutal to Trump for 4 years. That interview, which was yesterday late afternoon, so December 8th late afternoon, that 3-minute segment there from George Conway hits all the points. We have arrived, Steve. We have arrived at our destination, known as the Supreme Court of the United States. It's the final leg of this journey. And the court case, the lawsuit has been filed by the Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, who has been under indictment and is facing new charges as well for embezzlement and fraud and bribery. So that's Paxton's own issues. But he has filed this case with the Supreme Court. Has been, indications are that at least 8, perhaps 10 other states will join the lawsuit if the Supreme Court takes it up. That they will join with Texas in this lawsuit if the Supreme Court takes it up. The defendants in the case are the governors, the states, 4 of them, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. They are the 4 defendants where Joe Biden has been certified as the winner of those elections. The Texas Attorney General's lawsuit, Ken Paxton, says that those states implemented voting practices in 2020 because of COVID that were unconstitutional, that those voting practices were either, in the language of the lawsuit, created by fiat by the governor or some other election official just deciding to do it, or because of what they call, and they put this words in quotes, friendly lawsuits brought by folks that wanted to expand the voting practices unfairly, unconstitutionally, according to the lawsuit. They're arguing that, the lawsuits argue that those 4 states did this in violation of the U.S. Constitution phrase that says that electors shall be directed by the legislatures thereof, the states. And so the argument in the lawsuit is that it wasn't the legislatures that made these decisions. It was these by fiat or by friendly lawsuits things that got these laws put into place. And that those processes led to unconstitutional practices in those defendant states. Whereas the good, according to this lawsuit, the good states did not do that, and that they did it the right way. This is the court case, Steve. This is the one we've been waiting for. I want to say some more about that, but just want you to know this is it. This is the Super Bowl right here.
This is, and the good states did it because their own legislatures adopted those rules rather than a governor or a response to a lawsuit.
Yeah, my quick look at those states that are going to join, Texas having brought the lawsuit, others that are like a South Carolina, a Florida, an Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, a South Dakota, have my quick look at those states that have indicated they intend to join this lawsuit if the court takes it up. None of them are willing to put their name on it until then, if the court takes it up. But my understanding is that they didn't necessarily leave it entirely to the legislatures, but they did leave it entirely to the legislatures, but I don't think they did it necessarily intentionally. I think that they just, through practice in those states, left it to the legislatures, and now they're using that reality for the basis for their argument.
Well, here we are then in the originalist universe of many of these justices, right? They're basing it on a phrase that had some meaning back in 1790. I don't remember when we got this Constitution. It's been so long.
In 1787. Yeah.
1787. And they don't look at anything else, including like what the people writing the Federalist Papers were saying. They're just looking at those number of words. So yeah, I can. This is the Super Bowl.
It is. You can still hear me, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I wanna give you a sense of why this. Before we dive into the originalist element, there, the president this morning has tweeted a couple things about this lawsuit. He said. Okay, here we go. He tweeted a few more things, Steve, since I looked at this 5 minutes ago. Okay, all right. He first dismisses or distances himself from a Supreme Court decision yesterday, not a case decision, but a decision by to not take up a Pennsylvania court case. He says, that wasn't my case. That wasn't it. The one you've all been waiting for, it's this one. Okay, he says this. This was not my case. He's talking about the one yesterday. This is not my case that's been so incorrectly reported. The case that everyone has been waiting for is the state's case with Texas and numerous others joining. It is very strong. This is Trump. And then in all caps, all criteria met. How can you have a presidency when a vast majority think the election was rigged? He then goes on. That's a tweet an hour ago. Next up, we will be intervening in the Texas case. This is the big one. Intervening means you're joining it. We will be intervening in the Texas case. This is the big one. Our country needs a victory. Okay. Then he goes on. There is massive evidence of widespread fraud in the four states mentioned in the Texas suit. Just look at all the tapes and affidavits. Then in all caps, rigged election. Let's see, one more. Last one, 15 minutes ago. We will be soon learning about the word courage. He puts courage in quotes. The word courage and saving our country. I received hundreds of thousands of legal votes more in all of the swing states than did my opponent. All data taken after the vote says that it was impossible for me to lose unless fixed. So this is it. This is the case. And the president has gone all in on this. It's going to come down to the Supreme Court's assessment of whether that phrase in the Constitution means that nobody outside of the legislature can make a decision around election laws within states. Notably, all of the defendant cases, the defendant states, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, have already had the essence of this case taken up within the state law, state courts, and the state constitutions, or the governor in that state, or the federal courts who have looked at it within a state, not across states, the way Texas is bringing this across states, but have looked at it within states, have all upheld the state decisions. That's why I believe that the Supreme Court is going to either take this and defeat it 6-3, maybe 7-2, or they're not even going to take it, Steve, is because they've got the cover of all of these states taking that position, and that they will argue that they will either not take it because the election is over. It's over. You don't undo an election. Or they're going to take it, and here's what they're going to say, I believe. They're going to say, there is a constitutional principle here that going forward must be honored. The legislatures must have the say. But that we will not intervene to overturn an election where everybody acted in good faith and the plaintiffs have lost their chance to challenge these laws. The time to challenge was when the laws were passed or enacted, not now. That will have another set of implications that we can discuss at that time if they say that. But I think that the courts can either reject it or is going to come back with that decision that I just said.
What's the timeline for the court then hearing these cases? Is it 2 weeks from now? I mean, could they do it today, or do you know?
So they have not decided, or publicly at least, have not publicly declared whether they will take the case. It got put on the docket of the Supreme Court yesterday, which is not a statement that they're going to hear the case. It's that the case had been filed. The next thing is that they announce whether they're going to take the case. I have to believe that they will move pretty quickly on this. I think even before Monday, which is the Electoral College certification date. Yesterday, Alito and the court dismissed without taking it up the Pennsylvania case that has since been rejected, and then Texas has brought this case because that one and all the other ones in all the states were rejected. Alito moved very quickly on that. He, in fact, moved his timeline faster because he wanted to get it done before the safe harbor window that George Conway references had kicked in. The safe harbor window, again, is when, if certifications have been put in from the states for electoral colleges, they cannot be challenged anymore in that safe harbor. So Gorsuch in the court got that. No, I'm sorry, Alito in the court got that decided in Pennsylvania before last night. Given that we're in the safe harbor window right now and the electors are supposed to announce their decisions on Monday, I got to believe the court will get this done before Monday.
A few days ago, I said, is this a slow-moving coup? Is this an attempted
coup? Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead.
It's an attempted coup. It is. Isn't it? Isn't this an attempted coup?
It really is, Steve. The upside of the slow moviness of it is that we're able to watch the process unfold. Remember about a month ago, we did a podcast episode where you and I put this on the table and I'm going to make you complicit in this. You came along with me and we appreciated the value of the news coverage and the process by which we have been walked through the vote counting and the several days long assessment of the election.
Yes.
And we said, remember the value of it was that we didn't just jump from Trump up by 600,000 in Pennsylvania to Trump losing. We went through it over several days and there was further discussion and data points. To me, that's what the value is of this right now. We have watched it unfold at the court in the states. And now we're at the truck next to me about to turn right and turn away. We're now watching it come to the Supreme Court. Sure, many millions of Americans are not paying attention to it. They're just looking to the tweets or the claims by certain people. But there are many who are, too. So the slow movingness of this, to me, in my mind, actually works for our democracy. It works for our democracy in this moment. Maybe in other moments, it devastates our democracy, such as the influx of money into politics or the ways in which the Trump administration has undercut the Affordable Care Act. But in this case, the grind of it all, we're now, it's December 9th. We're now 36 days past the election day, is working to our advantage. So is it a slow-moving coup? I think it's in a slow-moving coup attempt.
Yeah.
It is not working. I've been consistent in this, saying that the system is holding. But again, I have also said that once these things get ironed out through the Electoral College, through the Supreme Court, that eventually then the broader cultural reaction occurs. And there we don't know what people will do. But we'll leave that for another day, Steve. We'll leave that for another day. And we'll just focus on the merits of this lawsuit. George Conway, says this is absurd, this is ridiculous, that you can't intervene, you can't try to control other states' election processes. That the argument, of course, of the Texas lawsuit is that they've been wronged because these other states did this way. Conway says you can't make that argument. States have sovereignty over their decisions, and also those have been practices upheld by the state and federal courts in all of those states. Your position is that, look, that line in the Constitution, the legislatures thereof, the states, fits the originalist argument so perfectly that that's going to give them the basis to overturn this, right?
Not being a lawyer, if you've looked at some of their other originalist arguments that Scalia has put out, that others have put out, they've been successful.
I actually have come to agree with you that I believe that if the case is taken up, that there will be a support for that worldview, that legal worldview, that only legislatures can make these decisions. And that will be a likely outcome going forward, that they will put that in place going forward. And that, as I said, is a point for another conversation, because if that happens, that will have implications for how we operate in the political and voting space. But I don't believe that they're going to overturn these election results, because the courts have there is this legal dimension of you have a certain window to challenge laws, but you can't bring them after an outcome has occurred that you don't like, when you could have challenged that law before that outcome occurred. So there was ample time to challenge all of these state decisions before the election occurred. It is, I will uphold this election, but I do believe, I do, I'm coming to think that they're going to put into place that legislature thereof language going forward. If they take this case, they may not take this case, but that language will, I believe, come back to the court at another time.
Well, I mean, if you believe in the that they've been planning this out a long time, and that they is there a QAnon theory that Ginsburg was poisoned or murdered so they could get the Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court? Has anybody floated that crazy idea yet? I just think that they, you know, they must have a reason for wanting to get her on the court so quickly.
Sure. Yes.
In my most paranoid and delusional late at night listening to the radio about where the aliens landed state of mind.
No, I don't think you have to be crazy town resident in order to see the Amy Coney Barrett installation on the court as the crowning moment in the outcome of overturning this election. That you don't have to be, because that's what the president has said, that, you know, I put these people on the courts and I'm expecting them to come through for me. To me, that is the logic and the long-term endeavor. And I do think that Coney Barrett on the court is along with the others that have been put there, is going to dramatically, significantly hurt voting rights in this country. I do think that. I just don't think that it's going to happen at this moment on this case, given that the election has already occurred. But I don't think you're crazy, Steve. I think that the logic of the court now being in place for the Republicans to suppress the vote, to overthrow elections, to install the coup that they're looking for, it's there. The chessboard has been played in such a way that you got to say, hey, you did it. You got it there. You've got the players in place. They just missed the window, I believe, in this election. Had they pulled this off before the voting occurred, then I actually think Trump might have won, because the absentee ballot voting that this lawsuit is challenging broke so heavily for the Democrats, because Trump talked it down and the Democrats talked it up. Broke so heavily. I'm not sure that Joe Biden wins a Pennsylvania or a Wisconsin or a Georgia without the early absentee voting, because it brought so many more people into the process. So I think that the lawsuit is not crazy in saying that those were determinative. That's what they use in the lawsuit language. I read the thing last night, that it was outcome determinative, that these actions that they are challenging were outcome determinative in the states. And then they said, and these states were outcome determinative in the Electoral College. I think that's absolutely right. That's why this is the Super Bowl case. This is the case that puts it all on the table. And Steve, am I worried? Hell yes, I'm worried, okay? Hell yes. And I do believe, but I'm not like super confident, but I do believe that given that the election has occurred, that the worst the court will do now is say that the logic here is right, going forward we'll adopt it, but we will not overturn the results of this election.
And you think they'll have enough, I mean, so you said 6-3, so they need Roberts and somebody else to join the other, the more liberal justices. I mean, I the fact that we're even making this liberal conservative sort of discussion shows that there's something fundamentally messed up in our system. But you think they will join those justices, Roberts and you said Gorsuch, Gorsuch?
Right. I think it goes likelihood Roberts, and then Gorsuch. And then jumping to the other end of the continuum, we're never going to get Thomas. We're never going to get Alito. Coney Barrett to me is not clear on this one, given that she might have a shred of ethics tied to the fact that Trump put her on the court and she might recuse or simply rule against. But I think Roberts and Alito, Roberts and Gorsuch are the most likely. Roberts and Alito can't stand each other. So I think they're on opposite sides. But, man, am I talking myself into this? A little bit, because it's out of my control. All we can do is speculate and think. What's the best case scenario? The court refuses to take it up. Okay? I'm not sure that's the best legal scenario for me and you and all the people that hold this position that Biden won this fairly and squarely. I'm not sure culturally if that's the best outcome. What would be the best outcome, as you know, is a 9-0 decision throwing this out. But that's fantasy land.
Wow. Okay, cool. Cool way to begin a Wednesday.
Yeah, this is it, man. We had to get here. It's like the thing. It's like the way I felt about the election. You work and you work and you work, and then it's here. And damn, you can't control it. You can't. But this is it. I appreciate that we're here. I appreciate the way the courts have moved so far. I'm grateful that there have been Republican people acting with integrity in a Georgia and in Arizona. I appreciate that. So let's see what the court does now.
All right. I guess we're still saying we're getting to work on the Georgia election, right?
Well, we're working on the Georgia election right now nationally, our advocacy initiative, contacting key folks in these swing states, making sure that they do the right thing and stay strong in a Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. That's still important. And then another part of our advocacy initiative is contacting Republican leaders from across the country to get them to speak out against this BS. And there has been some of that. Mitt Romney yesterday called this madness. Said, look, it's fine, recount the votes, that's appropriate. It's fine, challenge things legally if you so wish. But after those processes, you stop and you accept the outcomes. Said, this is madness. That's his word. That for Mitt Romney is like a fighting language, right? Madness. So our advocacy work right now through the Electoral College decision on December 14th is to pressure officials in the swing states to do the right thing and in the Republicans in these other places to speak up. That's really important. That's the work that right now, along with the Georgia work, has to be done. So, yep, we're all in. And the president is all in on this one, Steve. This is it. He's all in. So whatever happens here, this is outcome determinative.
Yeah. What a phrase. All right. I'm leaving you with a baseball analogy.
Got it.
The Houston Astros were caught cheating. 2017 and 2018. They did not lose there's an asterisk by their wins, but they did not lose those wins. So we'll see if we end up with the best case scenario is maybe an asterisk by this election. That's not the best case, but maybe that's one scenario we end up with.
You know, let's get through this election. Let's get the court to either take this or to dismiss it. And then let's move on and deal with the realities after this. Let's go, man. Let's go. We're here.
All right. Okay. I'm ready.
All right. Let's go.